Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to gather together this week and set aside this time to focus upon you. We appreciate, Lord, the love that you've demonstrated to each one of us and made available, and especially the forgiveness that we receive through Jesus. As we look at this topic of conflict and resolution of that, of making peace, I pray that you will soften our hearts, remind us of the truth of Scripture, and may this allow us some additional tools to better navigate those conflicts. We thank you, Lord, for being here with us, as you promised you would be. We're relying on you in Jesus' name. Amen. In yesterday's forum, Brother John Schlafly confessed publicly that he still has some issues with referee calls in the past. Unfortunately, he's not with us today. I wanted to razz him a little bit on that. But I think most, if not all of us, have something from the past or are currently in the middle of something that we're struggling with in, as far as conflicts. And if not today, then maybe tomorrow. And if not us, then someone very close to us. So this teaching has been a very good tool for me to encourage me, and hopefully it is for you also. We'll see if our remote works. I don't know if that worked or if the brother helped me out back there. But 4 points of forgiveness that I want to cover here today. If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. From Matthew 16:15. What is this following? Does anyone recall? The Lord's Prayer, thank you. Yes. And so he gives us this example of how to pray, how to offer up these prayers, because the disciples asked. And he finishes with this teaching about forgiveness. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the purpose of this, if you'll advance that, I don't think this is going to work for me. Four points of forgiveness. The purposes are, by God's grace, we must realize and live that conflict is an opportunity and not an accident. Next. We must remember that success in God's eyes is not a matter of specific results, but of faithful, dependent obedience. And one more, as Christians properly exercise forgiveness, we will show the world the gospel of Jesus played out in our hearts and in our lives. These are very important points, and as we look at conflict and potential resolution, these important points must be remembered, that there's an opportunity for God to be glorified in this, and that success, in my eyes, could be wrong. God's success could be very different. And how we respond to this, not just getting in, whether we're in it or not, because we're all going to face conflict, but our response is what can glorify God or cause further trouble. Go ahead and advance a couple more. The 4 points of forgiveness are to glorify God, to get the log out of your own eye, to gently restore, and to go and be reconciled. And we're going to cover those in a little bit more detail on each one. Advance to the next one, please. So first, a couple points in glorifying God. First, depend on and draw attention to God's grace. That would be his unconditional mercy, his love, and the forgiveness and strength that come through Jesus. in glorifying God, not only depend on and draw attention to God's grace, but live at peace with those around me. Inasmuch as it's up to you, live at peace with all men. Remember that I am carrying the name of Jesus and representing the Father. When we become a believer, we are Christians, and people understand us as Christians. We are carrying the name of Christ. We represent our Father in heaven. That label is plastered all over us, and unbelievers are watching critically. They're looking for any opportunity to criticize us, to condemn us, to judge us, and say, you're a hypocrite, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So remember that we're carrying the name of Jesus and representing our Father in heaven. And then ask God to help me trust, obey, imitate, and acknowledge him in the midst of conflict. In the midst of glorifying God, in the process of glorifying God, always be in communication with him, helping our trust to be in him, not on our processes or purposes or the reconciliation of the right words or doing the right acts of kindness, but to trust him, to obey him in any instruction he gives us, to imitate him. He demonstrated forgiveness and reconciliation, and to acknowledge him in the midst of conflict. Next point then is to guard against Satan's schemes and deceit designed to promote selfishness and incite conflict. We know that the enemy is alive and well. Go to the next slide, please, for James 1:14. But each one is tempted, parenthetically tested, tried, when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then the next slide. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members, or the things that you want, the things that make you feel better? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. Many times, a lot of it is, when we're in the midst of it, we keep thinking the wrong way. Our mindsets are in the wrong areas, and we're not aligned where God wants us to be. And he's not being glorified in the process if we continue to fight and struggle because our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our processes are in the wrong manner. God is not glorified in any of that. One more slide. It's not something we think of very often, but using conflict as an opportunity to serve others. Something that somebody taught me fairly recently was that, I guess it's not been so recent, but when somebody comes against us and there's a conflict, and I know there's the animosity between us now, press toward them in love. Step toward them. The initial reaction is to draw back, to recoil, and then put up those defenses. But the healthy thing, the thing to do, and the thing that God demonstrated toward us is when we were so offensive, he stepped toward us in love. And I thought, what a cool principle that is. Instead of going the natural way and doing what is natural, stepping forward and reaching out to them in love, using conflict as an opportunity to serve others. One more slide. Thank you. Allow God to prune me of sinful attitudes, habits, and desires to help me be more like Christ. What a great opportunity this is. No. It's not a comfortable opportunity, but it is a really good opportunity. In the midst of conflict, to allow God to prune me, to show me where I need to change, to show me how I can be molded more to the image of Jesus and represent my Heavenly Father. So after allowing God to prune me of sinful attitudes and habits and desires to be more like Christ, be a faithful steward of myself, my resources, and the situation. Be a faithful steward of myself, resources, and the situation. even the situation I should be a faithful steward of. So it involves removing some of the emotion to correctly accept, Lord, you've given me this conflict, even thanking him for that opportunity. Being a steward of myself and controlling myself, the resources that are around me, and the situation itself. Next slide, please. So that's glorifying God. Next wonderfully blessed step is to get the log out of my own eye. Boy, that's tough. I hardly even want to admit that there is a log in my own eye. Next slide, please. Sometimes you were only 1% in the wrong, and maybe even less than that. Next slide. But if it's only 1%, you are responsible for that 1%. Every aspect of that. Perhaps it is almost completely the other person's fault. It rarely is. But even if that's true, and you are responsible for only 1%, every bit of that 1%, God will hold you accountable for. You're responsible for 100% of that. So as you proceed then, define the issues. If you can critically analyze a situation without condemnation, what are the issues, personal and material issues, that are causing the separation? And deal only with issues which are too important to be overlooked, usually the personal issues first. Defining the issues between the personal, if someone stole my car, that's a material issue. But if they did it because they want to make me angry or to get back at me for vengeance or something like that, that's more of a personal issue. The car is immaterial. Set that aside for now. The material issue doesn't matter. But there's a relationship issue that needs to be restored. And that's the first thing that needs to be taken care of. Deal with the car later. That if we even need to deal with it at all. But usually the personal issues need to be dealt with first. If the material issue is dealt with first, then the personal issue may never be resolved. And that's extremely important to have that relationship reestablished. Matthew 18 talks about that. The whole purpose of the correction, the taking aside of my brother, is for restoration, to bring them back to the relationship with me, but especially to the relationship with God. So defining the issues, personal and material, and then overlooking the minor offenses. Proverbs 19:11. The next slide, please, so that we can all see it. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Sometimes a transgression can be overlooked. People say things or do things to us frequently, and at some point we should be able to overlook some of those, especially if they're personal. If I am personally offended by something, it's not causing me to sin necessarily, but it's something that I can overlook that's easier to do. Sometimes when someone is offending me and I think, you know what, that's going to cause other people to stumble, sin, have issues, then it might not be so easy to overlook. But it is to a man's glory to be able to overlook a fault. If someone does something, I know that's out of character. That's not how they typically are. Perhaps that can be set aside and just overlooked for a time. Not everything can, and that's proper. But other times we're a little bit too quick to judge, to condemn, to criticize, to, hey, wait a second, we have to talk about this. I need to take you aside. Next slide, please. So after overlooking minor offenses, correct my attitude. Make sure that my attitude, my perspective, and my heart is right. Matthew 6:12, next slide. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. And that statement that we have all, I'm sure all of us here have said, we are saying, Lord, hold me accountable. Forgive my debts. Critically look at my debts, Lord. How do I forgive the debts that are in front of me? How do I forgive others and use that standard to judge me? Forgive me my sins, my trespasses, my debts, as I forgive others. Correct my attitude. And then carefully consider the cost. What is the cost of this conflict being damaged? Is it just between the two of us? Or does it affect more than us? Does it affect the church? Does it affect the community? What is the cost of the lack of reconciliation? Carefully considering that cost and understanding that helps us then proceed to next slide. To take the right steps to move ahead, to move forward. Carefully considering that cost then helps us better utilize our rights, the position of the church, the tools that are around us, anything that we need to use to pursue healing and reconciliation. Utilizing my rights only to advance God's kingdom. We should be willing to allow our rights to be stomped on. It's not up to us to defend our own rights. To defend the rights of someone else might be more valuable. It probably is. But our own rights, immaterial. Using our rights only to advance the kingdom. So if I need to step up and say, hey, you know what? I have a right here, a right to this or a right to that, then only if that advances the kingdom, setting the kingdom above our own personal rights. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I'm not sure I communicate that very well. To serve others and to grow to be like Christ. That is what we have the right to do, is to be servants. I think that's a really cool principle. And then again, the next one, examine my own heart. That's really hard to look in the mirror, so to speak, and to examine my heart. Especially when I know that I'm only responsible for 1% of this conflict. It's not me. It's the other guy. Totally. Let me examine his heart. But no, in reality, I need to examine mine. And probably be very critical. Lord, open my eyes to what you want me to see about my own heart. Because I know that it still needs a lot of work. Next slide. So the 4 points of forgiveness: glorify God, get the log out of your own eye. Next one is gently restore. Next slide, please. Pray for the right opportunity and courage to confess sin or to show him his fault. And even if I need to work through others at first, it's very valuable to be face-to-face. So the right opportunity may be difficult. And depending on the situation or the circumstance, sometimes when in that conflict, it's not appropriate for a face-to-face initially. And so sometimes you have to work through others. But that's ideal, is to have that face-to-face conflict. For example, if a married man does something... initiates a conflict with a single sister, and it's not appropriate for them to do a face-to-face confrontation in private or anything. And sometimes it's more appropriate to work through someone else to get to the point where they can have that face-to-face, maybe with a witness or two nearby or something. There are other things they need to work through. In fact, a lot of this is not absolutes except for God's scripture. But the application, the way it plays out... Praying for that right opportunity. Because a lot of times we don't understand exactly what is going on, but I'm sure most of you have experienced it also, where a potential conflict is coming up, and you need to go talk to someone about something, And the Lord has already been working in the scenes behind to develop an understanding on their part. So when you go up to them and talk to them and say, you know what, I've already been thinking about that and talking to the Lord about that. And yeah, you're right. I was wrong, and I need to seek your forgiveness. I'm sorry for that. I'm sure you've experienced something like that also, where without us even being aware of it, the Lord has already taken care of the backstage for that and preparing the whole situation. So pray for that right opportunity, that the timing is right, that I'm not forcing things ahead, that it may not even be me that has to do this confrontation, that the Lord may bring someone else to do that confronting. Even if we need to work through others first, striving for face-to-face. Next slide. In seeking forgiveness, confession is a very important point. So there are seven A's of forgiveness. The seven A's of confession. Next slide. The first one is address everyone involved. So when we go to confess to somebody, address everyone who's involved. If in private I offend somebody, if I have an issue, a conflict in private, and nobody else is there or affected, then I don't need to take them before the church and broadcast to everybody, I want to publicly confess. That's not necessary. But if I publicly offend somebody and there's a room full of people who are involved with that, then they should all be addressed in my confession. It depends who has been affected, and even how far it has spread to some degree. Because if I have a conflict with one person in private, but then I find out afterward that they went and they told their spouse, they told their family, and it spread from there, then I need to make, if I go and reconcile with that one individual, the rest of these people still are floundering around without seeing the reconciliation happening. So this confession is important to be then inclusive of more than just that one individual. Address everyone involved. Next slide is avoid if, but, and maybe. When you're confessing, don't say something like, I said something bad about you, but I was just trying to communicate. Or if I hurt you, or if you were hurt by what I said. Avoid if, but, and maybe when you confess. Betty and I have been practicing this. Yes, we occasionally have a little bit of conflict in our marriage. And we practice this. And we know, we hold each other accountable when we go to each other with a confession and say, if I hurt you, or if you were hurt by what I said, wait a second. That's not a real confession. And it changes things when you do that, because you have to take ownership of it and communicate more clearly what you are saying. You're acknowledging the event, the hurt, the details of that. Avoid if, but, and maybe. And the next one is admit specifically. What did you do? I know I hurt you yesterday. I'm sorry about that. No, that's not enough. Specifically identify how you hurt them. Because then you're kind of getting an understanding of the recipient's hurt. You're identifying with that so you can understand better how I have hurt my wife or my brother or my sister. Be specific. When I said this to you, honey, when I said you look really fat in those jeans, I never say that, just so you know. But specifically admit what you have done. Again, you're taking ownership of it. The next one, acknowledge the hurt. Well, I didn't think you'd be so offended by that. I didn't think you'd be hurt. I didn't mean to hurt you. I just wanted to tell you some truth. I wanted to be truthful with you. I wanted to be honest and open. No, acknowledge the hurt. I have wounded you, and I didn't intend to wound you. I am so sorry. I know that must hurt, and that's gonna resonate for a long time. I never want to hurt my wife. I never want to hurt any of you. That pain is never something that I desire to inflict on anybody. Acknowledge the hurt. Accept the consequences. I know when I told you those jeans were unflattering, that now my judgment is compromised in your eyes. I understand that. And that's going to take a long time to get back to the point where you respect my opinion. There will be consequences sometimes when we make those mistakes. When there's a conflict that is unresolved for any amount of time, even after it's been resolved, there may be consequences. Like they can't trust us anymore or something. There can be consequences. Understand that and accept them. You eventually may get past them, but accept, I understand there may be limits to our relationship for a while. I want to get past that. But I understand the consequences and own them. Accept them. Next one is alter your behavior. I know I hurt you in this way. I really regret that. And I know there are consequences. I will try to never do that again. From my heart, as much as I can commit, I will never do that again. Alter your behavior. Find a way, whatever it takes, whatever guardrails you need to put up to change that. That is showing as part of confession that you really are sincere about changing. And then the next one is ask for forgiveness. And be specific about that. Don't just say, I'm sorry. Ask for forgiveness. Will you please forgive me? Will you please forgive me? I had one young lady whom I had created a fence once, and I was unaware of it. And when I became aware, and she explained the situation, and I acknowledged my hurt and understood the consequences, I then said, will you please forgive me? And she was taken aback and didn't know what to say. She said, well, eventually I will. Well, that's not exactly the answer I was hoping for, but she eventually did, near as I could tell. But ask for forgiveness, specifically request it. And then don't let them say, oh, and brush it off like, no, oh, that's no big deal. It's nothing. It doesn't matter. Let them challenge them to say to you, I forgive you. To actually specifically give that forgiveness to you. You are asking for this gift of forgiveness, though you probably don't, at least to some degree, deserve it. But request it and receive it. So express and confirm the confession, repentance, and forgiveness. And then the next slide. So that's in the interpersonal way where you are involved in the actual conflict. But sometimes you'll come across something where you find that there is something that someone has against you. When I find something, someone has something against me, I will go to them and discuss it, even if I don't feel I have done anything wrong. The next slide, please. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I don't know that this is a 100% hard and fast rule where you have to actually leave your gift there, but as best you can do, as best you can coordinate it, because perhaps they will not make themselves available and you can't get this resolved, but you have other responsibilities you have to take care of. Understood. But the principle in this is if you find someone has something against you, even if you don't think you have done anything wrong, make the effort to go to them and get reconciled. I recently have found something from years past that I was unaware of. And so now I am in the process of going through that and saying, let's schedule something. Let's find some way to get together and get this thing reconciled. We need to get this dealt with and behind us. Leave your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there, go your way, and be reconciled. Next slide. So glorify God, get the log out of your own eye, gently restore, and go and be reconciled. Next slide. When someone has wronged me, I will ask God to change my heart so that I want to forgive them. Our heart isn't always ready to do that, but we need to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to forgive them. I think they deserve for me to be angry with them for a long time. I may never forgive them. I want to punish them. But Lord, I change my heart. I need to have a heart after yours so that I can forgive. You forgave me, and I should forgive them. So next slide is when I forgive them. When I forgive someone, and there are some points of forgiveness here. Please go to the next slide. With God's help, I will not dwell on this incident. When I forgive someone. See, like Brother John yesterday, when he said from years back he's still got some coaching issues or some referee calls that he still remembers and holds against them. Well, I don't know that he's holding on to the unforgiveness. I'm not accusing him of that. But you know how when you're in a conflict and it's unresolved, and in your mind you just keep going over and over and over again. It's kind of like regurgitating in your head. All this nasty stuff of how I should have said this, or he shouldn't have said that, and on it goes. I will not dwell on this incident. When I truly forgive someone, I will not dwell on this incident. I will remember it no more. That is from a quote from Jeremiah, but it's also requoted in Hebrews, and it's an example of how God forgives. I don't have the passage in front of me. It's in the top left of my Bible on one of these pages here. Okay, it's in chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make. 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. This practice of, it's not forgive and forget. That's not what's being taught. But to set it aside, to not remember it, to not call back to memory. God can remember with ease everything that we have done. Yet for some reason he chooses this process of setting it aside so he doesn't bring it back to memory. And that's the same thing we should do. And I have found that if I practice that, if I intentionally set aside so I don't call back to memory and I feel it coming back, I push it aside and put my mind elsewhere so I do not call back the hurt that someone has caused me, then that is it's a very healthy thing to be able to do that, to remember it no more. The next point is I will not bring it up or use it against you. When I forgive you, I will remember it no more, and I will not bring it back up again. If another conflict arises, I will not use this as ammunition against you. You're always like this. You did this again. I remember when you did this years ago. No, I will not use this against you. That's forgiveness. The slate is wiped clean. I have forgiven you. The next slide. I also will not talk to others about this incident. I still have a little bit of time. I want to talk again about Matthew 18. This is a really cool teaching about Matthew 18. When you go to someone and you address them personally, and then the next step is to take witnesses. And I think it is important that when you take those witnesses, that you find somebody, you do not talk with them about beforehand and say, this is what I think, and this is what I think, and this is what they have done. No, don't share anything with them. Just find a godly brother or sister and take them with you and sit down, lay out your case, and then turn to the witnesses first and say, am I in the wrong? And let them address you first. Do not go and attack or gang up against this person, but let them come to you first and make sure that they can search your heart and that you are doing what is right. Then, as you have laid out the case, if you are still in the right and if it can proceed, then you can turn to your brother or your sister and say, let's work on this together because I want to bring back this relationship. Do not talk. I will not talk to others about this incident. When we really forgive someone, the case, again, the slate is clean. The case is behind us. It is done. I will not talk to others. I forgive you, but I'm going to go share, you know what they did to me? Be careful because they're going to talk about you. They're going to do this to you too. No, do not talk about others. It's done. It is sealed. And that last one is, I will not allow this incident to stand between us or hinder our personal relationship. Because it is done. Signed, sealed, delivered. That is forgiveness. That's how God forgives us. He puts it behind. Okay, next slide, please. So the answer, of course, is Jesus. Only. Next slide. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. He set this wonderful standard and illustration for us to show us how to forgive. Next slide. Because if we struggle with forgiveness, I am certain it is because we do not properly appreciate the forgiveness which we have received. If we struggle with forgiveness, if for some reason we have trouble forgiving someone else, it's because we have forgotten or never fully appreciated that of which we have been forgiven. I hope that resonates with you. That kind of makes me shudder. Next slide. So then, and one more, as people reconciled to God by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are called to respond to conflict in a way that is remarkably different from the rest of the world. It also seems clear that conflict provides an opportunity for God to be glorified, to serve others, and to grow to be like Christ. Next slide. Therefore, glorify God, get the log out of your own eye, gently restore, and go and be reconciled. Next slide, please. The forgiveness that we show others directly displays a level of appreciation for the forgiveness we have received from the Father through the sacrifice of Jesus. Much of this material, much of these points were put together by Peacemakers International, training that I received several years ago. Excellent. It ministered to me and to my life initially, and I'm glad that I have the opportunity to share it with others, and I have on many occasions. Some of you, personally, and maybe even in group settings like this before, but we need to be reminded, I need to be reminded of this on a regular basis, because I tend to draw back from the proper forgiveness. This book by Ken Sandy, The Peacemaker, is excellent. And I encourage you to take a look at that if you get the opportunity. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts? Yes. Thank you. Interesting question. So what was voiced was based on Proverbs 19:11, the verse that was shared earlier, it is to a man's glory to overlook a fault. Can you get to a point where nothing offends you? Any thoughts on that? You can't stop your gut reaction, but say that again.
Shortly thereafter, I can deal with it appropriately.
Okay. And shortly thereafter, then, he can deal with it appropriately. Okay. Yes, please.
I was going to ask the same question. I think this goes on with maybe forbearance.
Forbearance. Okay, thank you. And I'll try to restate that for the microphone. So perhaps this goes along with forbearance, where as we analyze a comment situation or circumstance, we say, this is something that I can overlook or I can move on past. And forbearance, I can deal with that. I can handle that. That's not just let it glance off the shoulder and it's not an issue. I'm not sure we have completely answered the question yet. Can we get to a point where nothing offends us? Nothing. Dwayne?
I think I'd like to sort of tag on what Dennis said. Mm-hmm. Perhaps this is taking it in terms a little bit, but sin offends God. I don't think we should try and get to a point where nothing offends us. Perhaps we can forbear the actions that Dennis said, but once again, perhaps it's taking it in terms, but I don't think we should try to get to where nothing offends us.
And so we shouldn't make that effort to get to the point where nothing offends us, but could we? By practicing this, can we get to that point, not even trying, just automatically? I agree, we shouldn't try to get to that point. But what if we are practicing overlooking someone's faults and we get to a point where, you know what, everything's fine? Exercising of those graces, and from Colossians 3, you said?
Philippians
3. Okay.
That's our
regular chapter. Okay. John. Well, who determines that? So, okay. Well, so you're suggesting that maybe there's a list of general guidelines that could be posted and publicized that would help us better understand. I don't know. Who's going to come up with that? Maybe my list will differ from yours.
That
we could agree on. Okay. Well... Yeah, I'm not sure about that, Johnny. Okay.
What kind of counsel might you give to navigate that type of situation?
So if someone is doing something that's borderline offensive, and at least, and you don't necessarily have a concern, but you know that it might be affecting their ministry or reputation with other people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Brother Mike had a comment. So if we overlook the sin too much, then, or the offense, I'll use that term again, then we aren't showing enough love. And that's what Matthew 18 kind of brings out too, that you go to them because you love them enough to restore them, to bring them back to their walk with the Lord. Yeah. Betty, and then I think Mike.
I think we're talking about two different things.
Multiple things. Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah. And likewise with me. Because otherwise, we'd just be heavy conflict all over the place. And those are principles that Christ wants us to use. If you're doing something that is leading to sin, or you're just going the wrong way, then yes, I should lovingly come to you and say, you know, you're always rude to people or something like that. But if it's because of a situation,
it's a good thing because God overlooks a lot of things with us. Yeah, and just as a reminder for everybody, offense doesn't mean just to put me out or something like that. It's to cause a stumble, to actually cause damage to someone. So offense is more significant than just like, I didn't like the way you smelled today, or the way that you said that, or yeah, you really should have showered. Something like that. My Brother Mike. Yeah, so if I can sum that up into a statement or two, again, reinforcing the statement of love. If you love someone, you will say something to help them. If you see something about the reputation that is damaging to them or poorly representing the Lord, then that needs to be dealt with in some way. So As iron sharpens iron. Yeah. Okay, good. Yes. Amen. Because I don't have any.
That's why when we're talking, it's somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
But 90%, I'd say 90%, high percent, if you examine your own, then those would be done.
Mm-hmm. There's almost always that log in my eye. Almost always, yeah. But that's... Yeah, it seems like it changes there. When it gets beyond the personal level and goes to affect others, then it's almost like lighting a fire under it. The importance of dealing with that has increased significantly, yeah. Brother Barry, you had another comment.
I love Paul and Dennis.
To get to the level of maturity, yeah.
Maturity and unity in the body, but the maturity in our life to not let the littlest thing take offense.
To not let the littlest thing take offense. Yeah, I like that. So, Dad, I would say, yes, you can get there, but it may not be a healthy thing where you're just letting everything go and you don't love your brother or sister enough to deal with it, to help them with that. Because I think we have that responsibility to one another. Our Lord doesn't overlook everything we do either. Sometimes he'll hold us accountable too. And so I think the answer is yes. And Brother Johnny, your question, I think, has been answered also. I think that with love, at some point, we do need to say something and help our brothers and sisters, as iron sharpens iron, as Brother Mike said.
You just don't necessarily
need to be mad about it. No. In fact, removing the emotion of anger, is I think, is appropriate. But you can deal with it very gently, and each person is different too. Some people you need to be really strong just to get their attention, but other people you just look at them the wrong way and they'll break down in tears. You've got to be very cautious about who you're speaking to and how they're going to deal with it. Brother Mike, and then Brother Donald again. Brother Mike. Yeah, choose not to remember. Yes, that is from Satan if it comes back, right? Yeah, that's not an easy thing, but it's with practice you get better at it. Brother Donald? Good. I like that statement, and we need to conclude, so to reiterate that a little bit and add to it some. There are some things that are clearly sin, and other things that are clearly not, but they could be offensive to us where I'm offended by that. But it, there's a middle ground in there that, that maybe can go either way. And as we better understand what the Lord is telling us, what's dear to his heart, as Scripture reveals, then, and as the Spirit brings to understanding, we can maybe say, you know what, I thought initially that was an issue, let's overlook that also. Or the other way around, where I was going to overlook that, but you know what, I really see that this could be really detrimental or damaging, and we need to address this. I hope in each of you, you've seen a glimmer of hope in conflict, that it's not always necessarily bad, but at times, maybe it's even good to embrace it, because this is an opportunity for us to grow. Even when somebody comes to us in conflict and is totally uncomfortable, maybe even hurtful, there's an opportunity there. And God can be glorified if we handle it well. Thank you.